It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. When it comes to the World Cup, the big question may not be which team will win, but what brand will take top honors. For sportswear makers, beverage companies, and others, the opportunity to have their brand prominently featured on the world stage is the goal. Here to take a look at the business of soccer is contributor Rebecca Harris. She is director of the Women's Center for Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. Rebecca, welcome back. Good to see you.
Nice to see you, Paul. I had to tear myself away from watching soccer to come here. Not really.
You don't have to be a soccer fan to be interested in the business of soccer.
I really love soccer. It's a fabulous game, and the endurance levels of these athletes is really remarkable, Paul.
Well, you're running a lot in this game.
Pretty much nonstop.
The ratio of moving your feet to actually touching the ball, moving your feet without the ball to having the ball with you, it's incredible.
Did you ever play this game? Is that...
I did, but I was not one of the guys running around on the field. I was a goalie.
Oh.
So, but it's a nerve-wracking position,
as
we saw on Sunday.
Oh.
Well, this is a fortuitous bit of timing on your part, because I think everybody's caught up in this. We're all caught up in this now, that the drama that unfolded Sunday, it wasn't exactly the miracle on ice, but it was nearly a miracle on grass for the U.S. team.
It really was. And the fact that it was the second game and they were in, and now we're going to the third game Thursday at noon, I understand. Is that correct?
Yes, taking on Germany. But, watch the replay, because you'll be listening to Essential Pittsburgh, right?
Live. And you can always watch soccer, can't you?
As we say in soccer, good save, Rebecca. So tell us, let's start with the fundament. For people that are trying to get into this, or who have gotten caught up in the excitement but are still trying to figure out what's going on, tell us about the fundamentals of soccer.
So I had to go back and do a little homework. So association football, more commonly known as football or soccer, is a sport played between two teams. Each team has 11 players. It's a round ball. The whole essence of how this ball is made, the type of seams, is a huge discussion point, as I'm sure that from last World Cup to this one. It's played by over 250 million players in over 200 countries. It's the most popular sport in the world. Rectangular field, gold on each end. Of course, the object is to score a goal, and the key is the only person that can touch the ball with his hands is the goalie.
Which is why the goalie wears a different colored jersey, which is a marketing opportunity in and of itself. Because you can buy a USA jersey, but you're not going to have the jersey that looks like the one worn by Tim Howard, who is the U.S. goalkeeper.
Right. And looking like Tim Howard also, that would be quite a feat. I mean, that was really interesting. So the laws of the game, listen to this, Paul, were originally codified in England by the Football Association in 1863. Association football is governed internationally by the International Federation of Association Football, which is FIFA, and in French, it's the Fédération Internationale de Football Association, and it organizes a World Cup every 4 years. And so that is a little bit of the history for people who don't know. And I think what's important to realize is this has been going on since 1930 and did not take place in 1942 or 46 because of World War II. But it's been a long, long going. But there's only been 19 World Cup tournaments. Right, because it's every 4 years. But there's certainly a lot of soccer played in between.
Well, that makes it unusual. I mean, the Olympics are every 4 years, but there's no other single sport that waits every 4 years to play its championship.
Right.
So you may be asking, what are they doing during the interim? They're qualifying. They're playing all these qualifying matches, and it takes time to get those together because the players are off playing in their own, leagues.
Right, in their own countries and everything else. So the essence of the organization behind this is amazing. I understand right now there are 32 teams competing, but there's discussion of that becoming even larger next World Cup, which will be in Russia, and then they're looking at the 2022 in Qatar. So that's what's on the table now for that.
And you also have to wonder if political
forces be what they are, right?
If that will continue to stay on schedule,
but we'll see.
Russia went to war in Afghanistan, and the Olympics famously were still held in 1980 in Russia, even though the U.S. boycotted. The U.S., though, very much a part of this World Cup. Tell us why the 2014 World Cup is really an international business.
Yeah. Well, we've talked right now about all the countries that are involved and the 32 different teams, and you're pulling that from different countries as well as players from literally all around the world. And when you look back at the 19 World Cup tournaments that were won by 8 different national teams, Brazil has won 5 times, the only team to have played in every tournament. The World Cup winners, they're in Italy, they had 4 titles, West Germany, 3 titles, Argentina, and inaugural winners are Uruguay, each with 2 titles, and England, France, and Spain, 1 title each. What's missing there, Paul?
U.S.
There you go. There you go.
Don't hold your breath.
No, I'm holding my breath.
We're getting closer, but
it's a widely viewed sport, and here's where we go. It has a cumulative audience, the 2006 figures that we looked at. 26 billion people watched over the course of the month, with an estimated 715 million people watching the final match, which is a ninth of the entire world population. So when we talk about those numbers, automatically that translates into television advertising, sports apparel sponsorship, infrastructure building in the host country. Think about what's been built in Brazil alone. It's just remarkable. So the business behind this really is big business.
And, you know, one of the things about soccer is that you were talking about the history, and it goes back to the 1800s.
Right.
And when they started, you know, the ball, it was a brown leather ball. It was kind of a round version of our own, you know, oblong football.
Right.
Has any ball, you know, I mean, you know, football, baseball is basically the same, going back to when Abner Doubleday established the sport. You know, a football looks relatively the same. A basketball used to have laces, but, you know, it hasn't changed all that much unless you look at the ABA, which had the red, white, and blue ball.
Right.
But a soccer ball has gone from being, you know, the brown leather ball to the ball that had black and white spots that George Carlin used to make fun of.
Right.
You know, he would say, how can you take a sport seriously that has a ball with spots?
I love that.
Now, I can't even describe the design they have this year. But that must create marketing opportunities because people want to get the new ball.
Right. And the sponsorship opportunities are there, as well as the ergodynamics of what that ball does. I mean, that was a whole discussion of this one over the last 4 years. The last 4 years, 4 years ago, it didn't float and come down the way it was supposed to. So there was a redesign done. I heard that story on NPR. So there's lots that's really at stake here. The winning of the game, certainly, but all the merchandising behind it as well. And we don't want to leave out, of course, when we talk about the business of soccer, there's women's football, women's soccer. FIFA has a Women's World Cup, which was first held in 1991 in the People's Republic of China. So,
and the women, the U.S. women have won a World Cup, unlike the men.
Right. And so there's a growing number of entrants in that. Football has, and when I say football, I mean soccer, has been included in every summer Olympic game since 1896, except for 1896 and 1932. So it's really had the longevity. And so there is a history of both men and women playing this game.
We're talking with Rebecca Harris, our business contributor, about the business of soccer, which is booming during this World Cup year. And here in Pittsburgh, there are soccer teams. There are professional teams.
Right.
We don't have an MLS team yet.
Right.
But we do have minor professional paid soccer players.
Right. The Riverhounds. So that's the big team here, as I understand. And the Pittsburgh Riverhounds is an American professional soccer team based in Pittsburgh. It was founded in 1999. The club plays in the National Division of the USL Professional League. And they have games at Highmark Stadium located in Station Square.
And that's kind of the big marketing aspect, isn't it? Because you can sit and watch a game and see the skyline of Pittsburgh.
It's just so beautiful. Now, I know that there's been some revenue issues having to do with the actual stadium itself and some Chapter 11 filings. But the essence,
the team
is amazing, right?
But they did have to file for Chapter 11, and it was because of the stadium costs. But they're saying they're going to be better for that,
right? And getting through that, but the actual playing of the game, I read one reporter said, you can't believe how exciting it is to be at one of those games live. It's really like nothing else.
And speaking of which, there is a big game coming to Heinz Field next month.
Yes, there is. It's so exciting. It's the International Championship Champions Cup has confirmed that European soccer powers AC Milan and Manchester City will play July 27th at Heinz Field. It's 4 p.m. It's going to be televised. And this is a huge coup for the city. Pittsburgh was one of 30 cities that expressed interest in hosting this. And so we are really excited that we get it.
Yeah, and it's going to be at Heinz Field. Yeah. And this is very different from the atmosphere that you will encounter for a Steelers game.
I think that's probably true.
Hopefully we won't see any hooliganism.
Right. None of that. Mm-mm.
And the biggest market for soccer programs in Pittsburgh is our youth population. Right. Who and what is involved in this market?
It's an interesting market. As we looked into it, there's so many different programs. And I want to make sure that we also mention that there's some great leagues, amateur leagues here in Pittsburgh for adults, which is like Pittsburgh B-League, which is an amateur league. There's clubs for soccer for adults. For the youth population, we have Soccer Shots, we have Happy Feet, we have Dynamo Soccer. And these are big leagues, Paul. There's a lot that they have going. There's a lot that's happening. There's Paisa, which indoor facility that many different sports, adult and youth sports. So that's pretty remarkable that we have so much going on for that youth. And it was actually a player that I know who's in high school who suggested that I talk about this with you because he said, you know, I'm playing all the time now. Unfortunately, he is utilizing some of the medical care behind soccer because we know that there's lots of injuries in soccer. Unfortunately, we've seen a lot of
there are lots of injuries, and as we've seen in the World Cup, lots of fake injuries.
Right? Yes. Now I don't know how they really address those. I would just say, would you just get up?
You know? Yeah. Well, that's what the referee tends to say now.
Right.
But you know, the thing about soccer from a marketing standpoint, and I would love for you to address this is. At the end of the day, you don't have to buy as much equipment players do wear shin guards, which are optional.
Right. Cleats.
The goalies have gloves,
right.
But other than that, shoes and a ball. I mean, in shorts, you're set to go. Right,
you're set to go. And I think that's what makes this such a universal sport. It was interesting the other day. I was streaming it live when I was watching the game. I was streaming it through Univision on the internet, which is one of the services that provides it. Now, it's in Spanish. I don't speak Spanish, but just watching the action of it. But you can also hear it live on the radio and certainly on television. So there are many economic interests that are getting on the bandwagon with soccer, as well as a lot of kids playing it and adults as well.
Well, we're just about to time for this segment, but before we wrap up, this is important from a marketing standpoint, and you might be the personification of it, someone who maybe doesn't know a lot or has been interested in soccer, but are you getting caught up?
I totally am. I really am, and I have to buy a soccer shirt. I hear there's a bunch of them available in all these great locations around the city, so that's another great economic interest, but it's a really great unifier, so I'm excited for the next game.
All right, and that next game coming up on Thursday, which the U.S. can, if they win,
when they win,
or tie against Germany, they advance to the next round. Rebecca Harris is our business correspondent. She's director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. Rebecca, as always, great thanks.
Thank you.
And tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, we will talk with Walter Barr, a Pennsylvanian who was a member of the 1950 U.S. World Cup team that beat England. That's tomorrow. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.